Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I appreciate the week thus far. I appreciate the Lord meeting with us and helping us in the meeting thus far, and the good liberty that you've afforded us, and the good meeting that we've had in the morning services. It's been really a blessing in my heart to hear from these elder brethren as they stand and preach unto us and testify about the goodness of God. I sure am thankful for those things. I appreciate Antioch Church, and what a blessing it's been in my life for a long time. I appreciate getting to be with you this week. I'm very honored to be here. Not just saying that for word service, but I really do mean that. And I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate your pastor, Brother William. I love and appreciate him. Love to hear him preach and love just to be around him. Just a good friend. I appreciate the Lord letting us be together this week. Hebrews chapter 12, if you'd please pray for us. I really do need your prayers tonight. Let the Lord to come by and help us. I think about the song, without the unction of the Holy One, without Him coming by and helping us, there won't be any preaching done tonight. So you please pray for me. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more, or much rather, be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and love? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." That's as far as I'll read this morning out of the Word of God. I really didn't mean to read but two or three verses, and I just kind of couldn't stop reading that this evening. But we know that in Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the chapter of faith, or the heroes of faith. And it starts in the beginning and it goes through and starts about that with Abel and goes all the way through that, the disciples and even those that came and suffered persecution and the things that they went through. And then chapter 12, the writer here begins to exhort us and tell us, seeing that we're compassed with this so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily does beset us, and run the race with patience that is set before us. But then he gets down to verse 2, and this is where I guess maybe my thought really is at, this second and third verse, when it says, you know, it says for us to, you know, that we're compassed about with this greater cloud of witnesses, but then it doesn't say look to the witnesses, or look to the disciples, or look to these that suffered persecution. But it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And tonight, as it talks about here, though he said, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I've been thinking about today about this, at the joy that was set before him and how he endured the cross. And I guess I've had it on my mind this morning and this afternoon and on the way to church even tonight about the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary.
Calvary's hill and how necessary that blood is. And you Bible readers know that this book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish nation, and it was written to them. And all throughout the chapter of the book, it'll say, you know, that the bull, the blood of bulls and goats, you know, how it was good. But there's a better one, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And it says, you know, that in the Old Testament, all things were purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So we know tonight that it's absolutely necessary that blood has to be shed for the remission of sins. Now you go back in the very beginning when Adam sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and you know they fashioned for themselves clothes of that of the leaves, and they tried to cover themselves up the best way that they knew how after they had sinned and their eyes were opened up. But when the Lord came and found them, realizing their eyes were open and they were conscious of sin, the Bible said the Lord brought them some clothes made of animal skin, something to cover them up. So way back in Adam, it started out with blood being shed to cover up their sins. And all throughout the Old Testament, through that of the Moses in the law, you go back in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, just a chapter before this or two, and it talks about that. Those things were a shadow of things to come. They take those blood, the blood of those lambs. You remember when they were down in Egypt? Just bear with me just a minute. It's coming fresh and I can get it out tonight. But over in the Old Testament, when that they were in Egypt, and the nine plagues had came, and the Lord said, I'm going to send one final plague, and I'm going to make a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And they got that lamb, and they had to put it up and take that blood and take the hyssop and put it above the mantle and the doorpost, and they had to stay inside the house. And the Bible said that I'll pass over the land, death's coming, and whosoever is inside the house where I find the blood, he said, I'll pass by. But if the blood is not supplied, not covered, death's coming in the household. And they started out without blood. And I can tell you something tonight. The death angel's surely coming without the blood. But the Bible, I believe the Lord said this, that this blood would be a token unto you. Amen. And when I see that token, Brother Kirkland, it said, I'll pass by and the death angel won't come into the house. And oh, you know, the Bible says that when the death angel moved through and it came over the camp of Israel where the blood was supplied, it just kept on a passing. When it got over, it came over that little old land of Goshen, and death didn't invade those homes. But when it hit up in Egypt, the firstborn of every one of the Egyptians, both the man and beast, were killed instantly, and they all died, not because they were Egyptians, but because the blood had not been applied to their houses tonight. Amen. The death angel's coming for all of us. The only reason that I don't have to die, because I've already died once, when the blood of Calvary's Lamb was applied to me, I died out to this world and I was born again a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the blood tonight. Thank God for the blood. Me and we ate lunch yesterday over at Sister Champion's house, and me and Brother William and Brother Howard, and we were talking, and Brother Kenneth, we were talking about the blood. We were talking about blood. And that got on my mind. I couldn't get it off of it, just to be honest. And Brother William brought up this statement. He said, how would it have been to be a priest in the Old Testament? And all it was blood and shedding of blood and blood sacrifices over and over and over. Because you see, in the Old Testament, that blood of the bulls and the goats and the lamb, it would cover up sin. But there was always a remembrance of those sins. sins that have been committed, no matter how many lambs they killed, and no matter how many bulls were slain, and the blood would cover it up, but there was always a remembrance. That blood did all it could do, but the blood of lambs could not take away sin. It could only cover it. Over in the book of Hebrews we'll find how that the blood of bulls and goats would cover up sin, but by his blood, praise the Lord, he didn't come offering lamb's blood or none of those, but by his own blood, our sins can be removed, not just covered up, but they'll never be remembered against us anymore, never brought up against us. As far as the east is from the west, so are our sins removed from us. Amen. Thank God for his blood that was shed on Calvary. See, I've been singing that song this afternoon. The blood that Jesus shed. Amen. I'm thankful that his blood was shed. They say that it was spilt, but it wasn't spilt. It was shed on purpose. That was done on Calvary's cross had been in the plans of God before time began. Before God said, let there be light, the lamb was already ready. They had paschal lambs, but this was the lamb that was coming. It was before the foundation of the world. I believe if I remember right, John the Revelator, he saw a vision of a book, and it had the seven seals on it, and the Bible said that they looked in heaven and looked in the earth and under the earth, and no man was found worthy to loose the seals of that book or to look thereon. And the Bible said John began to weep and he began to cry. Now I want to say something right here. That wasn't for God's sake, but that was for John's sake. He wanted John to know there's nobody else that was to come or had already come would ever be sufficient. Amen. To do what the Lord did. Amen. The Bible said John bowed down and began to weep. Yeah. And Brother Mickey, one of the elders touched John and said, "Weep not, John." He said, "For the I believe Brother Andy mentioned this the other day in devotion. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and he hath been found worthy to loose the seals of the book and to look thereon." And the Bible said that John looked up and he saw it was a lamb that was slain, and the elders were gathered round it, and they began to sing praises unto the Lamb. What Jesus done, nobody else can do. My blood's not sufficient, neither is yours, but the blood, the precious blood of the only begotten Son of God, I was pure enough and holy enough to make a sacrifice for you and for me, and to take care of our sins this evening. Praise the Lord. I'm glad the Lord was willing to come, shed his blood for me, and shed his blood for you. Not because we're worthy. No, not because we're worthy, but because the Lord loved us enough to shed the blood of Calvary. I heard a song today on the radio coming home. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The blood of Calvary was shed on purpose. The Lord shed his blood to save a sinner like me and to save sinners like you. I believe it's over in the book of Revelation, maybe chapter 7. I might be wrong in the place. But the Bible said the old devil was coming, and he was out to get them, and he was trying to get them. But the Bible said they were able to overcome. Ain't that right? And you know how they overcome? They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. Praise the Lord tonight. I can't overcome him because of my good works, because of my good deeds, because of who I am, but because of the blood of Calvary's Lamb, I've overcome the devil. I've overcome this world. I've overcome sin tonight, not by me, but by his blood. Praise his holy name tonight for the blood that was shed on Calvary's hill to redeem an old sinner like me. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad, Brother William, the blood is sufficient. Amen. I'm glad when the blood's supplied, it's supplied, Brother Mike. Amen. The devil not to wash it away if he could. But once the blood gets supplied, it's supplied. Praise the name of the Lord tonight. I'm glad I'm redeemed. I'm glad that I'm blood bought. I believe it was Peter wrote this. For we know that we are not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what redeemed me. Silver and gold couldn't do it. But the blood of Calvary's Lamb redeemed me. I paid the price for my sins for all of eternity. Thank God for the blood that was shed on Calvary's Lamb. Where would we be tonight without the blood? Can you imagine? Under the Levitical law, the Bible said that they would come, Brother William, and they'd take that lamb, and the priest would have to place his hand upon the head of that lamb, and it represents sin being placed onto that lamb. Matter of fact, there was two. There was the lamb, and then there was one that was let go in the wilderness, if I remember right. Maybe the scapegoat was what it was called. And they'd take the lamb, you know, and they'd put his hand upon his head, and it represented the sins of the people going upon that lamb. And then it was shed, you know, and then the scapegoat was taken out into the wilderness, and he's let go, never to be seen again. Oh, praise the Lord. This evening, the blood was shed, and then the sins were gone, never to be remembered anymore. Thank the Lord tonight. And they'd take that lamb, and they'd take some of the blood, Brother Harold, and they'd put it on their right ear, and they'd put some of the blood on their right thumb, and on the great toe of their right foot, and they never went inside the holiest of holies without blood to go in there and make an atonement first for themselves and then for the sins of the people. Thank the Lord tonight. And those were a shadow of what was to come. But one day our great high priest came and shed his blood. And you remember what it said after he rose from the grave and Mary came where he was, and supposing him to be the gardener, and said, "Sir, where have you laid him?" And they said, "Mary." And when he said, "Mary," she knew it was the Lord. And she said, "Rabboni," which means master. And he said, "Don't touch me or handle me yet, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father and your Father." There was still one more blood sacrifice that needed to be made. And he didn't take the blood of bulls and goats. Didn't have to take blood for himself, for he was the spotless Lamb of God. And he took his blood into that of the holiest of holies, not made with the hands of man, inside that of heaven, in the holiest of holies. And he walked in without blood sacrifice. And oh, praise the Lord. When the Father saw that blood in the Old Testament, he'd say it was a sweet savor and it satisfied for a little while. But when the blood of Jesus Christ was in the holiest of holies, inside of heaven, it pleased the Father, not for a day, not for a year, but for all of eternity. And the blood of Calvary's Lamb is still sufficient tonight. If you're a sinner this evening, you'd be plunged in the blood, and you'll come out as the whitest snow this evening. Amen. The Lord can save you, clean you up, redeem you. It's all through the blood. We're cleansed by the blood. We're redeemed by the blood. We're kept by the blood. Hey, praise the Lord. A lot of people don't want to hear about the blood. But I'll go ahead and tell you, if you read this Bible, it's a bloody book. It's always been a bloody book. But there was one that came. I believe the writer said he came once at the end of time to make a sacrifice. Amen. And it also said this: inside the holiest of holies, inside there of the one made in by hands in that tabernacle. There was no seat for the priest to sit in. He's in there working all the time. He's doing the work. He's doing the work. But on the cross of Calvary, he made a statement. He said, "It is finished." Amen. And the work was done for all of eternity. And hey, Jesus Christ walked in there, made that blood atonement for your sins and mine, came out. The Father was pleased with that. He shown himself over the next few days. I let the disciples see him, you know. He's cooking fish one time, walked in a room with him one time. One time appeared about 500 men. And they saw him, letting them know he had indeed rose from the grave. But one glorious day, the Bible said, they were gathered up on the mount. Oh, Lord, help me tonight. And the Bible said, he ascended up into the heavens out of their sight. And the Bible said, two men clothed in white appeared beside them and said, "You men of Galilee, why stands he here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus whom you've seen go away shall come again in like manner." Bless the Lord tonight. You want to know where he's at right now? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. But one of these days, he's going to rise up off the mercy seat, and he's coming to take us on. The difference between us and lost humanity is the blood's been applied to our lives. Amen. It's not our good deeds. It's not our church attendance. The only difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians that day was the blood was applied. They were safe inside the house. This topic, I've barely scratched the surface of it tonight. When you start preaching about the blood, it's a deep subject. Lots of things can be preached on tonight. And I've just barely, in my weak way, tried to cover this tonight. But I want to let you know something this evening. Now, the difference between me and you, if you're here and you're lost, is I've had the blood applied to my life. My sins have been removed. They've not been covered up, but they've been washed away. Amen. Never to be remembered against me anymore. My name was penned in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Praise the Lord tonight. I was purchased and bought by him tonight. Amen. The Old Testament priests, the Levitical law priest, did all they could. But when Jesus came, he didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. You see, the Bible says that what the law could not do, and that it was weak in the flesh, God sent his Son in the form of flesh. Amen. Ain't that right? He condemned the sin in the flesh because it couldn't do what he did. He came, and his sacrifice was better. His sacrifice was sufficient. Christ's blood took care of my sins and your sins tonight. If you're here and you're lost, the Bible says, I believe in the book of Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, though they be like crimson, they can be like white as the snow, or they can be like wool. How you take a black card and dip it in red blood and it comes out white, I don't know, but I just know it works. It's always took blood, and it still takes blood today. It's because of the blood of Calvary's Lamb that we are where we're at today. Without the blood being applied by the Lamb, I very well might be in hell tonight. I could be out on Skid Row. My wife could be living with some other man. Somebody else raising my children. But because I got under the blood of Calvary's Lamb, it changed me. Gave me a new... You know what happened? Them priests would get that blood on their ear, so they could hear what they're supposed to do. They got that blood on their thumb because they'd work like they're supposed to. And they got that blood on their big toe so they could walk like they're supposed to. When you get the blood applied to you, you'll hear different, you'll work different, and you'll walk different. Amen. When they walked in there, that blood was a constant reminder of why they were there. Not only that, when they got the blood put on, then they put the oil on. And they sprinkled that blood on their clothes. Ain't that right? Ain't that remembering that right?
And then they took that oil and ran down, and that oil covered them. Got the blood and the Holy Ghost all right there at one time. I believe that's how it works. I really do. I made one trip and got it all. I really think that's right. I really think that's right. I got, oh man, that's a whole other message. But the blood was applied to my life. And because of that, I'm able to do what I can do tonight. Anything I can do, not because of me. Anything good that preached to you tonight wasn't me preaching, it was the Lord preaching. If he don't touch me, I can't preach. I realize Brother William made mention of it earlier. You could probably get you a motivational speaker in here and probably motivate you and do all this stuff. But you hearing about the blood and what Christ done for you, if that can't motivate you, I don't know what in the world could. Knowing what Christ done for me makes me want to live for him. I'm glad I'm born again tonight. I'm glad I've been saved. I've been covered by the blood. I don't know your heart tonight, but what's the song they sing? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can do it? Nothing but the blood. The blood of Calvary's Lamb. I'm thankful for the... I think that song Brother Mike, Sister Pat sing, some through the water, some through the fire. But all through the blood. Isn't that right? It's got to be through the blood. Amen. I'm glad I got the blood applied to my heart. That's all the preaching I got in me tonight. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at tonight, what your situation may be. You may have walked in the door lost. If you'll come get under this blood, you can go out a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Redeemed, blood bought. Amen. I'm part of the blood bought band. Amen. I'm glad I've been saved tonight. Above everything else I can count for myself, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad the blood's been applied to my life. Thank God for his blood, for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Amen. No, that's what the Bible said. Looking at all these witnesses, let us keep running the race. Let's lay aside everything. But who do we look to? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I didn't even preach tonight about the sufferings of Christ. There's a whole other message in the sufferings of Christ and the crucifixion. There's a whole other message to be preached tonight in the agony that he suffered, the separation from God for our behalf. All these things I could preach on tonight. But the results of it was his blood was found sufficient. Even Pilate, when he tried him, he walked out and he said, I find no fault in this man. Remember what he said? He washed his hands and said, I'll have nothing to do with this man. He said, I don't want his blood on my hands. Remember what the people said? Let his blood be on us and on our children. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Amen. Lord wants to save you tonight if you're lost. He don't want you to come give some money to the church so you can get right. He don't want you to come make a love offering. He wants you to come present yourself unto him. If you'll come present yourself like you should, you'll be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He'll apply the blood to your life. The night I got saved, I doubt I had a penny in my pocket. If it had come to mom and daddy buying it, my daddy was a brick mason. My mama worked at Alpha Insurance. They couldn't afford it. Couldn't have set it up on a payment plan. But I found out that night the price had been paid. Amen. It was free to me. It cost him his life. It cost heaven the best it had to offer. Amen. But the price was paid for my sins and your sins. Where's Brother Denver at? Come on, brother. Come on, get us a verse of invitation. Brother William, you stand with us if you would. We'll stand to our feet tonight. I don't know your heart. If the Lord's dealing with you, you need the blood applied to your life, the blood of Calvary's Lamb. It's still sufficient for your sins and my sins. If we'd just come and plead the blood, I claim the blood tonight. Amen. We're going to sing this number. Go ahead, Brother D.